can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah.
And
what are we talking about today that I haven't seen?
Right, exactly. So today our two films are guys going around killing people, but theoretically for good reasons.
Oh, anti-heroes? Maybe? Not quite.
Action film? Just action film.
Just action film, okay.
I mean, because in all action films, there's some guy going around killing somebody, right?
Often, yeah.
I'm trying now to think of one in which there isn't, but that would take too long. So anyways, the two films for today are The Equalizer 2 and John Wick.
Okay.
Both of which are evidently now the start of series, because there is a Equalizer 1 and there is evidently going to be a John Wick 3 next year.
So is this John Wick 2?
This is John Wick 1. Oh. But just the fact that there's going to be a John Wick 3 throws me off.
No, we're just skipping right over 2.
We're going all over in these series here. But no. So Equalizer 2, I had not previously seen Equalizer, and so had to quickly watch that in the middle of the week.
Okay.
So that I would at least kind of hopefully understand what was going on in this one, because I thought they sort of related.
Uh-huh.
They kind not so of much? Don't really. No. Oh. No. And did not know until after watching the first Equalizer that this was actually at one point a TV show. But
yes, okay, I think I know that.
It was before my like actual being in this world. It was sometime in the 80s, and from what I've heard, it doesn't follow the TV show too much, other than that like there was a guy with a special set of skills who goes around helping people, I think.
Okay, 1985. I'm now looking at the I'm trying to think if I ever watched it.
I had never even heard of it. I thought this was just something someone came up with, and Denzel Washington was like, you know what? I need to be in an action film. Let me do that. Although, in looking this up, have discovered that Denzel Washington has actually been in a number of action films.
Well, yes, he will. He has
and
been.
It's not what I think of for him, but also because I've seen Remember the Titans like 6,000 times, so that's always my first thought with Denzel Washington.
Right.
Two different people.
Yeah, 88 episodes. It was on from 1985 to 1989.
All
4 years.
My time.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm just trying to think. You know, I would have been in 5th through 9th grade. Did I ever watch it? Now, again, grew up in Montana, only had 3 stations, one of which rarely came in. So it could have been.
Right, so chances were probably not. But so anyways, for this one, The Equalizer 2, Denzel Washington returns as McCall, who is ex- something military government person sanctioned to kill, who seems a bit OCD, though it's never quite explained why that's the case, what that has to do with anything. You just see him sort of like putting things very particularly straight or, you know, stacked together or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a watch that he uses often to time himself because he supposedly knows, hey, by looking around everything in this room, I should be able to kill everyone in this room in 26 seconds or whatever. And that continues also. But in this one, whereas in the first one, he was trying to save Chloe Grace Moretz's character, who was made to be a prostitute, even though she disappeared for like 3/5 of that movie.
Mm.
In this one, there's a few different storylines going on, and it's confusing at first. So he has just sort of taken it after the first one to continue this, let me help, you know, random people who are not being treated nicely because sure. I can and or something.
So because he's Denzel Washington. He helps people. I don't know.
Well,
he's Robert
McCall in this who helps people. So we start with him on a train, either in Turkey or on its way to Turkey, where he's trying to rescue a kidnapped little girl and return her to his mother. And he does a lot of this anonymously.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the mother has no clue how her daughter got back. The girl does, but they're keeping a secret. You see them go shh to each other at one point.
Oh, dear.
And it's just, you know, him being a good Samaritan.
Yes, but you should never say to a child, you know, don't tell your mom we're keeping the secret. That's not good.
Well, he doesn't even say it. He just, you know, puts his finger to his lips when he sees her later. And the girl's like, yeah, I'll keep my secret. But that's his sort of, you know, Robin Hooding that involves killing the bad people as he goes along. But then his friend Susan, who is played by, I believe, Melissa Leo, who still kind of works for the government, but kind of doesn't. There's a moment in the trailer that's also in the film where, you know, he says to her, oh, I thought you were retired. And she's like, yeah, I am. In the same way you're dead. In that, you know, we're not really. We are, but we aren't. She is working on a case where an operative who was, I guess, undercover was killed in Brussels. And so she has to go over there to figure out why that's the case. We get the thing with the operative, but we don't know who he is at first. So at one point it's like, okay, we've got McCall in Boston and he's just seen Susan and Susan's husband has just written a book. Okay, that's a whole nother storyline with them, you know, working with the government. And then random people in Brussels killing other random people in Brussels. And why do I care? What the heck is going on? It takes a while for the different storylines to come together. And we keep jumping back from one to the other. So I'm like, is the guy, like, he's working, McCall is working as a Lyft driver.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to assume product placement. I have no idea why. And there's one of his people who he regularly drives, who is a Holocaust survivor and is constantly going to court to try and battle over this portrait that was like sold for $12 million
mm-hmm.
that was of his sister, but he can't prove that it's his, so he can't get it. And he's very upset because it's like losing his sister all over again because they were separated in the camps and never saw each other. And I'm like, so is he going to tie in to the people in Brussels or what am I supposed to focus on and what's just supposed to be like background here? I don't quite know.
Do you ever figure it out?
You do at the end. And you do get a sort of resolution to most of the stories, but it takes a while to get there. Because then there's also this other side thing where one of the people in his building or whatever he lives with, this guy named Miles, is a young man. But he's an artist, but he's also kind of involved in gang life.
Oh, sure.
And so McCall is, you know, concerned about him, and then he ties in later, and it's just like, by the end of it, I did know who almost everybody was and what their part in the main storyline meant.
That's good, because I'm still confused.
It can be very confusing from the way it sounds. When you see it, you eventually get with, oh, so that operative had to do with Susan, who has to do with McCall, because, I got it, but it takes a moment to get there. But in the meantime, you get a number of scenes of him, I think, killing people. There's definitely some killing, and there is a good number of arm breaking for some odd reason.
Okay, but
in this film,
you said you think killing people. You're not sure he was killing people.
No, so there's some I know he definitely killed because, you know, shots to the head, and there are others where I'm like, okay, they're either, are they unconscious or are they dead?
Okay,
I don't have these skills, so I can't tell right away. And they were like moving a little after, but then they stopped. So I don't. Are they dead? Are they? You seem very like, you know, don't care either way whether or not that person's alive and fine. Yeah, they're not nice people, but there's a definite variance in how not nice these people are that he's dealing with. And yet his, you know, response is always sort of like, they could all potentially be dead by the end of this.
Wow. And so do you think that the arm breaking had any underlying meaning, or was it just something that got stuck
know.
In there?
That was something I noticed. I was like, dude, you break like everybody's arm and fine. Yeah, I get that's probably a effective tactic when you're fighting, but must you with all the arm breaking?
All the arm breaking.
And like, I saw the first one at home on TV.
Is that how he equalizes people? He just breaks everyone's arm?
Well, no. He's equalizing the situation for the unfortunate.
No.
But he doesn't need to break their arms to kill them. They could all be perfectly, you know, able-bodied and he'd still be able to kill them. But I saw this, the first one on TV, and I saw this one in the theater, and the sound was so much more in the theater.
Ew.
That I was just like, oh, wow, okay, must you? You couldn't just knock them all unconscious in a not as please stop making me squirm sort of way. Really?
Right, yikes.
Yeah. So anyways, you do eventually get to the, okay, this is how everything ties together. The event that sort of brings him out of his not dead situation, I felt was sort of kind of obviously hinted at.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point where something happened where I was like, so I can see what's coming down. I already kind of know where this is going. I don't know how we're going to get there, but I know where this is going. Certain things are going to happen. I can already tell. And then they did. You can also kind of already tell, you know, who the bad people are. I'm like, okay, I already know the basics of the story. Mm-hmm. How we're going to get there and who's going to live and who's going to die, I don't. But where we're kind of going, I kind of already get. And I'm just like, must be doing it such a violent way. We're getting there anyways. I already know it. Stop with the arm breaking.
Stop with the arm breaking.
But there's also, I don't know if the arm breaking is supposed to mean anything, but there does seem to be a couple of metaphors in this film. There is a storm. You keep hearing about the storm. People say a storm is coming, and then you keep hearing the weather people on the radio
mm-hmm.
talking about the storm is coming, and then the climax happens during the storm, and I'm like, yeah, I get the storm is supposed to be a real storm, but also a metaphorical storm. Got it. Stop mentioning the storm. Stop breaking arms. Stop mentioning the storm. But then also there's a thing about mirrors in this where you constantly see McCall and some of the bad guys and looking at mirrors. And I'm just like, what is that exactly supposed to mean? Because I think it shows up enough to the point that I'm like, I think it's more than just, hey, it's useful as a tactic to see like what's going on at a different angle that you can't necessarily see without like getting shot. Yeah, I get that. But also, is this supposed to be about like how we see ourselves or how we see each other? Is there supposed to be something mm-hmm. deeper here? Because it could easily not be, but you keep using it to the point that I almost feel there should be.
Right.
But I don't know what
it is. But it's not ever fully fleshed out.
Yes. So this film, the sounds I could have done without. I like it actually better than the first film because watching the first film, I was like, why is Chloe Grace Moretz even in this film? Like, you couldn't have gotten some not as famous actress to play this part since she disappears for most of it. Like, you could have just put any pretty girl in that part. Why did Chloe Grace Moretz take that role? But also, why was this like so well liked? Because at the end, I was just like, eh. At the end of Equalizer, I was just like, okay, so you just killed a lot of people, and yet somehow we're not going to have really almost any repercussions for that, and movie ends.
Oh.
Fine, whatever. Why did we like this so much that we're like, yes, let's do a sequel?
Well, why, you know, I'm wondering if how great the 80s series was that they felt, I mean, I don't know, I don't feel like we have any new ideas in the world
right,
lately.
Right, I didn't even assume that it was the 80s series was great so much more as we've hit a, you know, period of time where it's, what old thing can we reboot, remake, whatever?
Yeah.
Let's just go back through the old catalog and see what we own the rights to instead of, you know, taking a chance on a new thing that might not work.
Sadly, yes.
So, and from the reviews I saw, this doesn't really have too much to do with the 80s, especially in the second one. It's like, we've completely just been like, we started with this idea and completely went our own way with it. So,
right. So we have, the guy has the same name and he sort of kind of is involved in the same sort of work. I mean,
starting or ending with, let's, you know, protect the little guy.
Right.
But in the meantime, there's also these bigger things that we're going to go around and kill a bunch of people for.
And break some arms.
And lots of arm breaking.
Don't forget the arm breaking.
All the arm breaking, which again, I get as a tactic. And if it didn't have such a wonderfully loud, clear sound in the theater, I'm not sure I'd be as upset. But it was just like, ah.
Yeah, sometimes surround sound is a little much. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Sometimes it's just really, really loud. And then other times you're like, oh, that was too graphically realistic.
Although there was a part that I really liked, and this is going to sound strange, because it really, really made me squirm. Mm. But thankfully was not a lot of sound of broken bones. But was very tense to the point that I wasn't sure what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually went and saw this film with my mother because she really likes Denzel Washington. And she was sitting next to me. And when this scene started, because it was so tense and I was worried, I grabbed her hand and kept squeezing. And the scene kind of goes on for a while.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm constantly squeezing and squeezing her hand. And afterwards, she's like, you nearly broke my hand. I was like, but I'm sorry. But oh my God, I was worried.
So you didn't like the arm breaking, but you almost broke your mama's hand.
See, arm breaking must be a
it's
thing.
It's just a, yeah,
there's
it's like
thing about this
it's
film.
It's like a not a trend, but a theme.
Right? Or something running through. Or now I'm thinking of like
subliminal.
The Ring and things coming out of the movie and into real life. It's arm breaking out of the movie. My mother's arm is fine, by the way. Just in case people were wondering.
I'll see her later. I'll double check that.
Yes. So I like the film better than the first one. Don't know why we have the sequel, but I'm not going to say I'm glad we have the sequel, but I'm glad that it wasn't like, yes, we totally didn't need the sequel. And the sequel's like, you know what? That's a fine film. A lot of, you know, if you are at all squeamish about people being arm broken or killed, don't go see this film, because there is a lot of that.
You said series. Do you think there's going to, do they leave room for a third one?
They did, okay. Kind of. And that involves the character Miles. There is something that happens with him and McCall and some other people that's not actually resolved by the end of the film. That it's like, so are we setting it up that those are going to be the bad guys in the third film? Please stop. But it totally feels like we could do that. And I would not be surprised if there was an Equalizer 3 coming in the next few years.
Okie dokie.
Depending on how they do that, I might be interested, especially if it actually does go with that Miles storyline.
Mm-hmm.
If it's like, we just want money and we're going to go in a separate way, I'm like, I don't care. But if you do actually do something with that Miles storyline, I'm almost interested enough to see it.
Almost. Okay.
That's my recommendation. Almost recommendation. Yes.
Okay.
So we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
Watching TV has changed over time. Streaming has become the new norm. That's why Golden State Media Concepts television podcast dives headfirst to the world of cord cutting. Want to be on the loop of what's hot in Netflix? Or if it's not a preference, what about original shows in Hulu? We've got you covered. Join us as we fill in the blanks and talk about movies to stream and what show you should be binging. This is the Golden State Media Concepts television podcast.
Welcome back to GSMC Movie Podcast, where this episode, sadly, is just a lot of let's kill and or maim people.
Are there any arms broken in our next film?
I'm sure there probably are, but it wasn't to the point that I noticed and or started to keep count.
Okay.
So the next film is John Wick, the first one. There is a second one that's already out and a third one that is coming out, but I have not seen either of those. I didn't particularly want to see John Wick when it came out, just because I was like, yeah, those scenes, those lines in the trailer that are supposed to be like, oh, look at Keanu Reeves, he's such a badass, just seem sort of laughable to me.
Mm.
And they seem really laughable actually in the film.
Oh, no.
To the point that there's a line that you saw in the trailers and that sort of appears in the middle where he's like, people keep asking me if I'm back. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back. That became a meme for different things. I love one where they're someone took it and put it to people keep asking me what sound a duck makes. I'm thinking it's quack. I was just like, yeah, the lines that are supposed to be cool just like were cringy for me. And I was just like,
right.
Move on. Almost get to more arm breaking just to get past this. So in this film, Keanu Reeves plays John Wick, who is an ex mafia hitman.
Oh,
essentially. And his wife has just died, but she has left him a dog, Daisy, because he still needs something to love, as her little note says. So Daisy brings him...
They didn't have Daisy before she died?
No, they didn't.
Interesting, okay.
Yes. So, because she didn't want him to be alone, I guess, afterwards. So...
I have questions. I have timing questions, but that's okay. I'm just thinking, how do you plan this? What if you don't die as soon? Where's the dog while you're dying?
I thought that too, because this dog gets delivered to him. And I'm like, is this a thing you left for your lawyer in your will of, okay, after I'm done, wait 3 days and then have this dog? How did that happen? I also had the timing questions.
Where has the dog been all this time? You know,
it's a puppy. So if you took longer to die than you thought you would, did you have to get a new? We're way off. But yeah, I totally have those timing questions as
okay. Okay. All right. I'm just checking to see if any of that was explained.
So anyways, this dog sort of brings him out of his funk. And I didn't realize it at the time, because as that was happening, I was like, oh man, this would probably make for like a great double feature with Keanu, the film we talked about recently with the cat. Right, and then realized that he's actually the voice of Keanu. I was like, oh man, that would be great together.
You missed an opportunity right there.
I really did. Why didn't I do this too? But anyways, so he has his dog and his car, but he's getting along. He and the dog and the car go out and they stop at a gas station where there are these young Russian people sort of essentially sitting around being douches, because we're not supposed to like them. You're not supposed to like them from the get-go.
Right.
The main one comes up and offers to buy Keanu's car. And I should call him John Wick, because they say his name a number of times in the movie. So I'll start with that. John Wick's car.
Is it a good car? Like,
it's a muscle sports car. I don't know anything about
it. So it is something that somebody might want to buy.
It is definitely something. And it actually shows up later because people know this car.
Ooh.
So we're going to get to this because this doesn't make any sense. He offers to buy the car. Keanu refuses. He sees the dog in the car and, speaking in Russian, essentially says, everybody has a price, bitch. I think meaning the dog. But Keanu, responding in Russian, says, not this bitch. Which throws off the main guy because, he understood me.
Right.
And that somehow entices the main guy to later then go to Keanu's house in the middle of the night, beat him up, kill his dog, and take his car.
Now I don't want to see this movie. They killed the dog? Come on.
And that wasn't the trailer. That was the whole setup of the film, was you killed his dog, so he's now going to kill you.
I think I remember that, but...
But it's... That... I'm just like, wait. You did... For a car? Dude, you went to this dude's house and you think he's just nobody who somehow happens to speak Russian, but you were like, for a car and you killed the dog? What the heck? Anyways, turns out that this guy who killed his dog is the son of Vigo, who's sort of like the Russian mafia head.
Okay. And is he Vigo like Cher? Does he not have a last name?
Sorry. I'm sure he probably does, but I don't know what it is. His son's name is Yosef. Vigo knows who John Wick is because John Wick actually used to work for Vigo.
Oh.
And this is what throws me off most about this film. As we go along, everybody in this underworld knows who John Wick is, except for this idiot kid and his friend.
I was just thinking, if he was somehow kept separate from that life, but...
No, he's not. John Wick had retired when he married his wife, so it's been a few years... But I'm just like, okay, but this kid is clearly supposed to be like somewhere in his 20s. He has no clue who John Wick is whatsoever. This John Wick that's, you know, almost a myth and a legend, to the point that when the kid takes the car, he takes it to like essentially a chop shop that's part of their organization to get a new VIN number or something for it.
Right.
And the owner of the chop shop takes one look at it and is immediately like, where did you get that car? Immediately knows whose car that is. And I'm just like, how does this kid not even know who John Wick is? That guy knows whose car that is by one look. Are you kidding? Like, I was just like, the whole setup, I'm like, A, you did this for a car. But then B, you don't know. The whole thing happens because you don't know who he is and didn't bother to question the guy who can speak Russian. Like, really?
Right. That seems all kind of convenient.
Super convenient. Like,
he just happens to go to the gas station where they are, and then the kid, I don't know. That's
right. And he's clearly in the neighborhood to the point that he runs into this kid, and yet the kid still somehow doesn't know who he is, but we have to have the setup somehow. We need a revenge story, so let's go. You killed his dog. He is now going to kill you, but first he has to get through essentially all the obstacles that Vigo, his father, sets up to try and keep his son alive, because that's his son. He actually beats his son up once he finds out what he did, because he's clearly not that loving of a father. But he's still, this is my son, and, you know, also possibly my heir, so I don't want him dead. But then there's this whole thing where there's a like whole underworld world. Not like physically, but in like a you have to be in the know sort of way.
Right.
They have these gold coins that mean something. It's the way they pay for things. And they have a code. So like when the father sends people to John Wick's house to kill him first, that of course doesn't go well. John Wick calls for a dinner reservation for 12. And it's like, what? Well, that's a code to mean, hey, come clean up all the dead bodies I just left.
Sure.
Because, yeah, and he pays by gold coin.
Were there 12 dead bodies?
There probably were. Yeah. I think there were. I didn't count. There were a lot of them. To the point that I'm like, how can you not all kill him? Fine, it's his house. But seriously, you can't kill him? He hasn't done this for years. And whatever. Moving on. So anyways, there is an actual, like, hitman hotel.
Oh.
Because, of course, there is.
You gotta stay somewhere?
Right. Well, something. And there's a whole thing about, you know, you're not allowed to do your business in the hotel, so no killing in the hotel. And we all supposedly observe that rule. But that since John Wick goes to this hotel to try and, you know, get some information and find out where this kid is, stuff goes down in the hotel. There's a great scene where he's fighting while the, like, concierge is trying to call him, and is just patiently waiting while the phone rings and rings and rings, and you keep flashing back between the concierge just waiting and John Wick, you know, trying not to be killed.
Right.
And then it turns out, it's like, oh, there's a noise complaint. Like, I'm sorry, in the hotel full of hitmen, there's a noise complaint and not the clearly something's going on in the hotel full of hitmen? Like, what?
Right, you know...
It's sort of like, I feel that there are parts I'm supposed to laugh at and then parts I'm supposed to take serious, but I'm not sure the filmmaker's idea of what those parts are and my idea of what those parts are the same.
Right.
Because the parts they want me to take serious, I kind of want to laugh at, and vice versa. It's just like,
I just haven't moved past the dog being killed. I don't know. For some reason, that's nope.
And
no,
that is
you.
Like the first 10, 15, 20 minutes. Well, very sure, early. Because sure. Again, it's a setup.
So, okay, so his dog got killed, now he's in the revenge business, and there's two more movies?
Yeah. Well, okay, so, spoiler alert, just because there is another movie, at the end he takes a different dog from a vet place, because he went in there when he was injured and, you know, bandaged himself up using medical supplies, and then, oh, hey, it's a dog, let me take... I'd have no idea if that's what John Wick 2 is about, because if it's every movie is killing the dog,
yeah,
I'm upset. But I have no idea what John Wick 2 is about. For this one... There was a number of things where I'm just like, A, this doesn't make any sense. At one point when he's sort of in a, you know, caught situation, they try and like suffocate him. Mm. And I'm just like, this is freaking John Wick. Like, to the point that he had a nickname of Baba Yaga, which is the sort of Russian equivalent of the boogeyman. Mm. And when Viggo explains this to his son, he said, no, he's not the boogeyman. He's the person you send to kill the boogeyman.
Oh.
And I'm like, again... Everybody, but somehow the son doesn't know this man, and yet your first thought is, let me suffocate him? You have guns! Just shoot, like, I'm not wishing the hero ill, but this is just stupid. Like, you have a gun, just shoot him in the head. Why are you trying to suffocate him? Except the script tells you to, because you know he has to survive this so we can go on and kill some more people. Like, what?
Right.
And it doesn't help. Viggo's sort of right-hand man in his organization, and I'm not quite sure how he even got this role, because he doesn't speak Russian. That's one of his main lines, is Viggo keeps speaking Russian, and he's like, Viggo, English, please. It's played by the actor who played Mayhem in those insurance commercials.
Oh!
Do you remember?
Yes, and I know his name, but I can't think of what it is off the top of my head. Yeah.
It threw me off when I first saw him, and I had a hard time taking him seriously the whole film. Because I was just
I knew him from a TV series before he became Mayhem, so...
See, I only know him from Mayhem, and I'm now... Like, the whole film, anytime he showed up, I'm, like, picturing him, you know, like, crashing cars or falling through roofs, or... I'm just like, am I supposed to take you seriously? This is not helping. You're Mayhem. Like, I get you're an actual working actor, and so I want you to get roles, but I am having a hard time thinking of you as anything but Mayhem. So, again, is this supposed to be one of those moments where I'm serious or when I'm laughing? Filmmaker, help me out here. I don't... It's right. Mayhem. Like, seriously, you picked Mayhem for this role?
Yeah, I mean, it's like if Flo from the Progressive commercial showed up.
Right, exactly. I'm just like, that is so associated with that thing. I can't with this. And just, what am I supposed to do here? I don't know. The action scenes are for me.
Mm.
And I don't want to be one of those people who's like, oh, they're old. But it felt a bit like Keanu... Reeves, you know, had gotten a little older and so couldn't move as much as he could back in like the Speed days or whatever. And so the action scenes felt a bit limited for that, but I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt, and it's like, John Wick is rusty. He got out of this life. He hasn't done this for a few years.
Nice.
So, you know, he's not immediately like untouchable. He does get, you know, injured doing these fight scenes because he's rusty. That is my excuse, and I'm sticking with it, because otherwise I rate this movie even lower than I would. So he's rusty. And also, he's emotionally upset about both his wife and his dog.
And his dog, yeah. You know, I've read so many amazing... apparently, Keanu Reeves in real life is just this sort of amazing individual. Mm. But I don't know. As an actor, not my favorite.
I mean,
Even though I loved Bill and Ted as a high school student. Because it was just so stupid. Those. But that's not really acting. That's just being silly.
I know him most from Speed and the Matrix films.
Well, he was in... Shakespeare, Much Ado About Nothing. And
that's right. Oh, my gosh.
He was so bad.
He really was.
I wanted him to do better. But
yeah. Oh, man, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's not remember. Much Ado is a great film, but he's not great in it.
Right.
But yeah, so I don't know why this has two sequels. Again, I don't know why people liked it so much, because all the lines that you were supposed to be like, oh, man, he's so cool. I was just like, oh, that was cringy. Oh, please stop. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And I didn't think the action scenes were that great. And again, I had the hardest time believing it through the whole film, because why didn't the son know John Wick? Like, I just kept the whole film. Anytime you kept coming up with someone who knew him
previously. Right.
And I was just like, oh, hey, John. Nice. I'm like, seriously, every time you bring up someone who knows who he is, it just more and more makes it unbelievable that the son doesn't. Like, you just keep digging yourself this hole, filmmaker person. You're not helping. I don't know who directed this film, I'm sorry. But it was just like, yeah, I'm having a hard time believing it, and the parts that are supposed to be cool for me are not cool. Why are there two sequels to this film?
Like, you may have to watch the next one just to see why. But, you know, that doesn't mean you have to watch the whole thing.
Right. Just to see, like, is this about killing a dog again or not? Oh. I could just look this up on the internet, I'm sure.
You could.
Because that's what the internet is for.
Since it's already out.
I mean, yeah. And the second one, I mean, the third one, whichever one, the next one is not till next year. So I have some time to decide whether or not this is worth it to continue with this.
Give yourself some time, maybe, you know. Right. But, you know, give yourself some space and then make your decision.
To forget about the cringiness and then come back and hope the next one's not as cringy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Unfortunately, though, if it is as cringy, you'll be like, oh, right.
Yeah, that.
This is why I gave myself space.
Flipping the channel now. Let's go watch some other person kill some other people.
Oh, break some arms.
And on that note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Movie Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.